It's an interesting journey this morning. I think everything that could have gone wrong sort of was trying to... Definitely someone out there not wanting us to get here. Anyhow, wasn't as interesting as the journey that the children of Israel had when they left Egypt. Between leaving Egypt and arriving at the Promised Land, a little over a year later, the children of Israel had witnessed many miracles from God. He had protected them by what many ways. The pillar of fire, keeping their rear guard safe as the Egyptian army stampeded right behind them as they were on the edge of the Red Sea. The opening of the Red Sea itself, so that the children of Israel could walk dry-footed across to the other side. He then wiped out the Egyptians from the face of the earth. Not one of them, the Egyptian army, sorry, not one of them returned back home to tell of the story. Once they were across the other side, he provided miracle upon miracle. He provided manna for them. He provided drink for them. He gave them the commandments at Sinai. They saw the power and the strength of God when they were all encamped around its base. We have just pictured, once again, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We're on its last day. The leaving of sin and living by every word of God that he speaks. Once more we set off on our journey through the holy days that pictures the plan of God. We are at this end time in the spiritual wilderness that this end time age pictures so well. And the Promised Land is just a very short way ahead. But just prior to entering the Promised Land, God commanded that 12 spies were sent out to map the way ahead. This was when they should have gone into the Promised Land. We know the story well. Turn with me, please, to Numbers 13. Numbers 13, starting in verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a leader amongst them." So there were to be 12 spies, one from each of the tribes, and each of them was a leader. Dropping down to verse 17. So Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, "Go up this way into the south and go up into the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are forests or not. Be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land." Now the time was of the season of the first ripe grapes. So the spies went up into the land and spied it out. And when they came back, they gave a report to Moses and Aaron and the congregation and in verse 25. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. So they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And they brought back word to them and to all of the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and they said, "We went into the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong and the cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land to the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea along the banks of the Jordan." Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." Today I just want to briefly look at one of the aspects of Caleb and how we should emulate his attitude, his reliance on God to actually take the land, to give it to them. In chapter 14, just dropping down to verse 6, "And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of," not very good at pronunciation, "who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to the congregation of Israel, saying, 'The land we pass through to spy out is exceedingly good. If the Lord delights in us,
Then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And we know the story. The children of Israel were swayed by the majority of the spies that came back. And for their disobedience, they were made to wander for 40 years before they could enter into the promised land. But one of the things with people's names in the Bible is their meaning. Now, I did a Strong's search on Caleb, and the definition was dog. However, I did a bit more research, not being a Hebrew scholar myself, I utilised other people's expertise, and I came to a website, behindthename.com, and what they say, many names and books and websites list the meaning of Caleb as dog. However, a simple look at Hebrew English Dictionary, one will see that dog in Hebrew is C-E-L-E-B, not C-A-L-E-B. So Caleb is actually a compound word in Hebrew, something that is quite common apparently in ancient Egypt. And the word Caleb actually means wholehearted. And it goes on, faithful could be another translation. However, in reading the Bible, the exploits of Caleb, one will see that he wasn't simply faithful, but that he served the God of Israel with his whole heart. He was the first to speak up and say, "Let us go and conquer the land." It wasn't Joshua, but Caleb who was encouraging the Israelites first to follow God in spite of the opposition from the other 10 spies. So, Caleb was wholehearted in his approach and in his life. But how did he get this wholehearted approach? Was it just from seeing the miracles that God had performed since they had come out of Egypt? You know, seeing the miracles and that, you know, power and that strength, physically one could start relying on God. You know, we've seen before that he could do it. And, you know, we can start trusting in God just from that pure physical point of view. And we've all had miracles in our own lives that we can look back on and clearly say, yes, God is there. God does protect us. Estelle, a couple of weeks ago, was coming home from a home ed event, which normally finishes at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And she normally goes straight from there to swimming lessons for the children. Normally she makes sure she leaves dead on 4 o'clock to get there on time. The kids were in the car, she was ready to pull out the car park. And one of the home ed mums ran over and said, "Oh, still, just before you go, I need to have a quick chat with you." That delayed her by a couple of minutes. Now the journey between where she was and the swimming pool goes over a bridge that's about 250 foot high. And where she would have been had she left on time was a crash. A tanker, a livestock truck and a Mercedes. And the livestock truck was teetering right on the edge. It had actually gone over the edge, like the Italian job, the bus right at the end of the Italian job. Two fatalities. Now some might say that is just coincidence, but that's protection of five of God's children. But it is not just looking at the miracles that God has done. If you carry on, just turn over the page in chapter 14, verse 24, because this actually says a lot more about the reason why Caleb was wholehearted in his approach. Verse 24, "But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it." So his wholehearted approach was clearly shown in a different spirit that God quite clearly saw. It wasn't just the, we've seen God can perform miracles. It was his whole attitude was different. He was wholehearted. And King David has a lot to say about wholehearted. I'll turn with me, please, to Psalms 119. And they say sermonettes should only have three scriptures. It's right, Mr. Bowles, I'm not reading the whole of Psalm 119. Starting in verse 1. "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn of your righteous judgments. I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. And carrying down verse 10. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips, that I might declare all your judgments of your mouth. Dropping down to verse 65. So I did say I wouldn't read all of it. 65. You have dwelt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of shekels of gold and silver. So this is where we see someone who is wholehearted seeks after the ways of God, seeks after their laws, his statutes, his testimonies. We are in the days of unleavened bread that pictures the putting of God's words into our mouth, the getting rid of the sin that our former self had, but replacing it with God's laws, God's word, within our own lives. One day there will be a time when the whole world, every man, woman and child, will have a heart like that. Ezekiel 36, please. Ezekiel 36, verse 24. For I will take you from amongst the nations, gather you out of the countries, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all of your idols. I will give you a new heart, and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh, and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. So in conclusion, Caleb was a man who was wholehearted after God's ways. He had a different spirit in him. He trusted in God to give the promised land to the children of Israel despite the physical things that he saw that the other 10 spies focused on. The other 10 spies focused on the size of the enemy, their fortified cities. Yes, they saw the fruit that was there, and I'm sure they wanted to have that. But they said, no, we cannot overcome it. Caleb also said, we cannot overcome it. But if we trust in God and he finds pleasure in us keeping his ways and we seek him, then he will give us the land that he has promised. King David shows us how we should seek God's word wholeheartedly. It is the wholehearted part of being a Christian that we need to take on board in these days to start off our journey through the rest of the Holy Day season. And eventually everybody that is alive will have this spirit within them. A spirit like the one that Caleb had, that was wholehearted in the way that he followed God.